What's good, everybody? You are listening to Beneath the Frozen Sea, the DavyJonesLockerRoom.com podcast. My name is Sky, and there are only two regular season games left in this 2023-24 season, and they cannot come soon enough. I struggle to come up with superlatives, I struggle to come up with decent analysis, and I struggle to even perceive the product on the ice as it stands. It is increasingly likely that the Kraken's final victory of the season happened last week on the 9th. More specifically against a team I'm going to talk a little bit at length about in the NHL section towards the end of the podcast, but that's like 20 minutes away from here. Let's just focus on the rest of the week. Because the Kraken have effectively decided to grant themselves the grace of simming to end. Look, it was going to be tough without Vince Dunn no matter what. They know perfectly well what the problem is. Their offense is completely inept, as the last two games against the Dallas Stars and the St. Louis Blues just showed. They know their transition defense is awful this year, and they have no real answer for giving up turnovers at the point. They frequently struggle to hit the net, and when they do, they struggle to hold a lead. They are as challenged both offensively and defensively as you can get right now. The good news is that they know they've got some kids who can make all of this a lot better next year, but they came way too late. There's no need to burn an ELC just to save face. And so after the Arizona win, which frankly was super sloppy and was more a credit to the work that Philip Grubauer did than anything that the offense did, they sent Ryan Winterton, Logan Morrison, and Shane Wright back to Coachella to get ready for the playoffs there, and then they deactivated Vince Dunn. And then the rest of the week happened. You saw what they did. They got goalied by the goddamn Sharks, they got processed by Dallas, and then yesterday morning they got their ass kicked by the St. Louis Blues. It has been a rough end of season for the Kraken, and this is a season that's basically done. The only thing we have to care about now is the draft position. We should care more about what's going on at the draft lottery over anything that happens this week. That sucks, but at this point it's expected. I'm frustrated with the constant lack of attention to detail, I'm frustrated with the transition D, I'm frustrated with bobbling the puck up at the point, I'm frustrated with not cashing in on grand opportunities, I'm long past frustrated with passing when you have a wide open net to shoot on, but that's all effort stuff at this point. I know that a lot of these guys need to convince Ron Francis to bring them back. I mean, it's not like Ron Francis is unaware of what happened this year. He knows that the offense is the thing that sank them, but he can't fix it right now. We have to wait for the draft lottery, and then we gotta wait for the offseason. And so we've had to suffer through 4 or 5 games of a team that's just checked out. And there's not much Dave Hakstol can do. I mean, I've had my qualms with this system. I really think that it overemphasizes possession and volume shooting over quality shots. And even on their best day, they are still a very loose defensive team. And in a division this hyper-powered, you cannot be that. But I think it's been made abundantly clear they don't have the personnel to put the best version of Dave Hakstol hockey on the ice. And what are they going to do now? Fire him? What's that going to do? They're still going to have the same team that can't shoot. Even Stan Bowman would be pretty hard-pressed to try and get goals out of this group. The only ones who have been that consistent are Oliver Bjorkstrand and Jared McCann, and even they're struggling. I guess the point of talking about this last week of the season is to really just kind of allow it to encapsulate the issues that the team has had throughout the last 80 games, because it's all the same stuff. It's offensive woes, it's defensive snafus in the offensive zone, it's all being in the opposite end of the ice from your goaltender. That one part of the ice seems to be the starting point of all the bad things that have happened to the Kraken this year, and that's insane! But it's a team-wide season-long shooting hangover that just killed them. Just killed them stone dead. And like, we can have a discussion, I think, at some point about how the third line just collapsed in on itself after the Winter Classic, and we can definitely have a big, long conversation. Let's just have the conversation now. This team's center depth is completely screwed up. According to Evolving Hockey, they're a good defensive center core, but their impact on the ice gives the impression that they're playing at the level of, say, a really good defensive center for a second or third line. And that's all of them. That was true about Alex Wennberg, and guess what? Now he's playing third line PK minutes in a shutdown role with the Rangers. Yanni Gourde can't buy a goal. Kailer Yamamoto has only recently been promoted to second line center, just to give you an idea of how badly this has gone. Pierre-Édouard Bellemare is good, but he's old and slow. And then it all comes back to Matty Beniers. I mean, he's doing good things defensively, but man, he had a miserable season, at least by the standard that we set for him. And it's a bigger deal because the team kind of needs him to be good. Not just good, but great. I'm not worried about him long term. It's not like his talent fell off a cliff. You can watch him and see that he still has that talent. He still has that playmaking ability that he had last year. It's just, he's fighting it. His wingers are fighting it. Everybody's fighting it. The only ones who weren't fighting it were Jared McCann and Oliver Bjorkstrand. And to start the season, Jared McCann was fighting it, and fighting it badly. But the ability to create shot assists fell off. The ability to create meaningful rebounds fell off. The ability to create opportunities really struggled. And the Kraken just never recovered from that. I've said over and over again, one guy should not be the answer between playoffs and no playoffs for a team. That doesn't make you very good, that makes you real shallow. And that's been true of the center depth for pretty much the whole season. If you want to know where they need to start, it starts with their shooters, it starts with their centers, and it starts with their depth. Because there were dudes up and down the lineup having bad years. Eli Tolvanen fell off a cliff. Andrei Burakovsky was beaten up so bad that I think it genuinely affected his ability to play meaningful NHL hockey. And hell, I'll just say it. They need Shane Wright in the lineup. Shane showed he's ready. He is beyond ready at this point. Even in a losing effort, he was unquestionably the guy. He made plays. He created opportunities. He also took a lot of the pressure off Matty Beniers. And that's huge, especially given what this team could be in the future with the both of them at the height of their powers. They've got to make sure that their centers are at the top of their game, because otherwise you're going to struggle. Especially, and I know I keep hammering this home, the Pacific Division is really, really hard. Like, you've got to play Connor McDavid and Jack Eichel 4 times every year. And since we're out hypothetically shopping, I think a thing that they need is another puck-moving defenseman. Specifically one noted for puck security? Just a thought. First things first, you gotta get better shooters and you gotta get more centers. For me, that is the one thing that needs to happen first. Anyway, next week we can more properly discuss how this season went and why it went the way it did. Because we still got 2 more games left. One is against the Winnipeg Jets. If you watch that game, you're a sicko. It's me. I'm a sicko. And the final game of the season will happen on the road against the Minnesota Wild. What am I expecting from those games? Not a whole lot. To reiterate, if you watch the Winnipeg Jets right now, they are a wagon. Therefore, if you watch the current version of the Seattle Kraken play the Winnipeg Jets right now, you're a sicko. You are either a Jets fan, or you're an absolute psychopath who wants to see just how bad it can get. Do not watch that game. I will tell you right now that it's not going to end very well for the Kraken. I don't even care if the Jets rest half their players. It's still gonna hurt. Which brings us to the final game of the season on Thursday. The game against the Minnesota Wild. That is the last reasonable chance the Kraken have to win a game this year. The Wild, over the course of the last month or so, have been a team that does exactly what you'd expect of them. They either blow out the teams they're supposed to blow out, or they get blown out by the teams that should blow them out. They picked a lane of mid and have been sitting there ever since the beginning of the new year. So, could the Kraken beat them? Yes, they absolutely could. For one thing, all of the Minnesota Wild's goaltenders have been absolutely awful this year. And while they do need to keep an eye on Kirill Kaprizov and Ryan Hartman and Matt Boldy, the Wild don't have a lot of guys that are in danger of becoming scorers anytime soon. But again, the Kraken need to cash in on their chances, and they will get plenty of chances. They have to stop giving up the point, they have to stop giving up the puck high in the offensive zone, and they need to actually cash in on any of their power play opportunities. They do all that, they should be okay. They should be able to end the season on a high note. But if you're interested in their draft position improving, you may want them to lose out. It's a weird place for the Kraken fan to be because you obviously want them to look competitive, but right now, competitive doesn't get you what you need in the long term. Dire times indeed. Either way, the Kraken are going to take on the Jets on Tuesday and finish the season out in Minnesota on Thursday. We will see how they do. On the bright side, it looks like just about every other part of the organization below the Kraken are looking at fruitful playoff runs. The Firebirds are going into a first-round bye in the AHL Pacific Division playoffs because the AHL's playoff format is insane. They're also looking to be one of the first teams in this current format to move beyond the divisional finals after receiving this bye. The Pacific Division has yet to send a team who had this bye to the conference championship game. Still got a couple of games to play, however. They got the Tucson Roadrunners and Colorado Eagles to play. Good luck to the Firebirds, and congrats to Leighton Road and Yanni Niemann, who in their first five games got their first Firebird goals. Meanwhile, in the ECHL, that's the AA League, the KC Mavericks have won a vast number of their games and are going to the playoffs for the Kelly Cup in commanding fashion. They'll be taking on the Tulsa Oilers, a divisional rival, in the first round of the ECHL Championships. Meanwhile, in junior, it is gut check time for a number of Kraken prospects. Starting closest to home, the Portland Winterhawks and the Everett Silvertips are locked in heated combat, but it's looking like the Everett Silvertips are running out of gas. In this series is Caden Hamill and Tyson Jugnauth, both Kraken prospects. Jugnauth has 6 points, Caden Hamill has 3. As of right now, Portland leads the series 2-0. Meanwhile, up north, the Kelowna Rockets look like they are fully out of it. The Prince George Cougars have shut them out twice in their series, which means Kraken prospect Caden Price is currently hovering around 8 points, and if Kelowna doesn't come up with an answer soon, he's probably going to stay there. Meanwhile, a pitched battle is being waged between Moose Jaw and Swift Current. Jagger Ferguson, 6 games, has 10 points. He is going all out. But that series looks like it's going to go the distance no matter what. Moving out east, the OHL playoffs have a number of Kraken prospects in danger of elimination, or at the very least in need of a series comeback, starting with the Kitchener Rangers. The Rangers are down 2-0 to the London Knights, in spite of Eddie Chalet and Carson Rakoff leading the team in points, with 11 and 10 points in 8 and 7 games respectively. Gonna need a little more out of that Kitchener team if these guys want to continue to compete. Meanwhile, Ty Nelson of the North Bay Battalion has had a front row seat to David Goyette, trying to drag the Sudbury Wolves over the finish line. The Battalion are up 2-0 over the Sudbury Wolves. Why must we pit Kraken prospects against each other? And finally, Ruin Naranda in the QMJHL faces an 0-2 hole in their second round series against the Victoriaville Tigres. Loshko has 6 points in 7 games. It's tightly contested and anyone can still win these series, but it's looking like a lot of our Kraken prospects are about to find the limitations of what they're capable of. Push on through, baby squids. We'll check in again with the kids next week to see if they are coming back. Alright, I've talked about the Kraken, I've talked about the prospects, I've talked about what the offseason should look like, and now that means I've only got NHL news to talk about, and there's really only one topic worth discussing. Last Wednesday, Elliot Friedman of Sportsnet.ca dropped a bomb, one that, if you were a particular kind of hater, had been coming for 30 years. In this report, it is set that the Coyotes are due to be sold back to the NHL, who will turn around and sell them to Utah's Ryan Smith, the owner of Qualtrics, and much more visibly, the Utah Jazz, which will move them from the Phoenix Valley area to Salt Lake City. In order to keep this mess out of court, Alex Marullo, the current owner of the Coyotes, will have a 5-year window to conjure up what effectively would be an expansion fee, as well as an arena, among other things that I'm sure that we are not privy to. That was all we knew for about 2 days. And then Craig Morgan of PHNX Sports all but confirmed it as the Coyotes players learned from the general manager that not only was it real, it's going to be announced officially come the 18th. If you are an old enough hockey fan, you have lived with the Coyotes as the punching bag, the laughing stock, the embarrassment, although I do not use the word embarrassment to describe the Coyotes, lest we forget there are a lot more pressing matters that should be considered embarrassing for the league. But the point is that they were the pariah. They were the team that was okay to hate no matter where you were, even though most of the time they were competitive-ish or non-competitive. And there is so much that has gone into that. Number one is that they've never had stable ownership. On DJLR.com, we have an article I wrote about what this means for the Kraken itself. And you can just see it. This vast long list of guys who never figured out a way to make that team work. Part of that is location. It was a non-traditional market in the 1990s when they came from Winnipeg to Phoenix. And the fact that they were basically in a protracted battle with the city to even expand the arena so that they could have, you know, hockey-looking sightlines is embarrassing. But that's also embarrassing of the New York Islanders and a number of other teams that have had to move into basketball arenas. And they've been trying to get an arena that works for them, that they own, that doesn't involve the city councils of Scottsdale or Phoenix proper or Glendale for just about as long as they've been there. And it never worked out because the people in charge have never, ever really seen this as anything more than a real estate opportunity. The second owner of the team wanted to bulldoze a mall he owned and put the Coyotes in an arena they drop on top of that space, but was stopped by a freaking Red Robin of all things, and then his eyes started wandering over to Glendale. And then he gives the team over to Jerry Moyes, who spends nakedly all of his time running that team, trying to sell it in order to control more of that Glendale arena complex. And then he threw a hissy fit and dropped them into bankruptcy. The NHL has only ever seen them for their television market. Fans around the league have long seen them as an avatar of what the NHL prioritizes, and it's not the product of the game, trying to add more teams to a league that may or may not need them into markets that they don't think will work. And that's all before you get to any Winnipeg fan who's furious that their records are technically still owned by the Coyotes. And in the middle of all of that, somehow, with constant problems, with constant attendance issues, with constant chaos around this team, fans still show up. Not many of them. I know a lot of them checked out after the NHL had to take over the team, but plenty of them still showed. And in so doing, the Coyotes, who never really had much money, put it back into that community. Arizona State would not have a hockey program were it not for the Coyotes existing. The Junior Coyotes program just won an under-14 championship. Auston Matthews likely never picks up a hockey stick if the Coyotes don't exist. Hell, without Joey Decord, where are the Kraken right now? He's an ASU alum. The uncomfortable fact about the Coyotes is that no matter your opinion on the team itself, its bones are being used to make a vibrant, growing youth hockey program in the state of Arizona and specifically in the Phoenix Valley area. And now that's not going to have an anchor. Like it or not, Arizona became a hockey state because of the Coyotes. Because of guys like Nikolai Habibulin, because of guys like Oleg Tvardovsky, because of Logan Cooley, because of Dylan Gunther, because of Clayton Keller, because of Shane Doan. And the fans have had to put up with so much. Relocation rumors to just about every major metropolitan area on the Western Seaboard, including Seattle at one point. They have had to put up with the team being bad. They've had to put up with the team being shockingly good and then never being able to capitalize on it. They have had to put up with bad owners telling them that they don't exist or that this market doesn't work for them. And then they've had to take that from other fan bases 20-fold. They have been called all sorts of things under the sun. A Ponzi scheme. A blight on the game. An embarrassment. Really funny now to hear that in 2024. And this is just one last kick in the nards. Because Alex Murillo, the current owner, is not blameless in this. He gaslit them constantly into believing there was a plan. He was finding land, and he was gonna build an arena, and everything was finally gonna be okay. And then this report comes out. So ultimately, I'm not sitting there going good riddance. Because I know that this was a setup. I know that this is what happens to teams that are not run well. There are plenty of teams being run by people who might be good at, like, corporate business, but have no idea how to run a sports team. And it has just reverberated throughout the history of that team. So many great players have come and gone through that system, and they have never been given the credit they deserved because they're Coyotes players. The first time they ever have something even akin to a young core in nearly 20 years of existing. And now they're gone just like that. And the guy who sold them gets to bring them back on his terms. That's the part that sucks to me. It isn't 30 years of failure. There have been plenty of teams that have failed for 30 uninterrupted years. Hi, every team in Ontario. Hi, the Canadians. I've just worked with too many Coyotes fans. I know their struggle. I know what they've gone through, and they are victims of the NHL's indolence through the 1990s and 2000s when it came to corporate structure. Now they're a lot better at it. Now they vet people a lot better. but it came way too late, and now it's taking the team out of Arizona. And now they're in a basketball arena in a non-traditional market that the ownership group is trying to renovate using public money, right back where they started. It's like I've said already, I don't mourn the team. I mourn how they had to leave. I mourn the fans, I mourn the youth programs, I mourn the players, because a lot of them aren't feeling super hot right now. And I feel for all the arena workers and all the people who have worked in the hockey ops side and all the non-essential positions who are going to be out of a job because of this. And if you want a Kraken through line here, it's not just Joey DeCord, who could have been a major part of Seattle hockey. This could have been our team. With all the debt, with all the problems, with all the ownership issues, with Rodham Verbata and Mikkel Bodker and Oliver Ekman-Larsson as the big guys that everyone needed to care about, this could have very easily have been Seattle. We should count ourselves very lucky that the people in charge of the Kraken seem to understand what they're doing. Because otherwise you get teams like this, who get passed around for real estate value. And that sucks. It's all just so tiring. Coyotes fans, from the bottom of my heart, I am so sorry you had to go through this. You genuinely deserved better for putting up with this, and you never got it. But hey, if you're a Utah hockey fan, congratulations from the bottom of my heart. Maybe you can appreciate this team a lot more than anyone who has ever owned it prior to now has. And on that dim bit of hope, I think we're going to call it an episode. I know this was a distressing amount of time spent on the Coyotes, but this is a big deal when this kind of thing happens in any sports league, and given the storied history of the Coyotes, it kind of matters. But anyway, if you like this podcast, you go on ahead and subscribe to it wherever you get your podcasts. I use Pocket Casts. I know a lot of the people who listen to this show use iTunes. It's all good. However you decide to do it, just go on ahead and subscribe. And if you really want to, you can go on ahead and check out our main website, DavyJonesLockerRoom.com. We host previews, recaps, analysis, and game threads of every Seattle Kraken game away and home so that you can interact with your fellow Kraken fan. You can find us on most social media at DavyJonesLockerRoom or on microblogging platforms such as Twitter, Blue Sky, or Threads as at DavyJonesLR. DJLR will be covering the Coachella Valley Firebirds, so please do not just click away from the site until the draft. There's plenty of more prospect news that we can go through. For all of DJLR's staff, my name is Sky. Keep calm and post Zoidberg when we win, and as always, even if they're not very good, even if the season feels like kind of a step backwards, go Kraken.